We're going to continue this morning thinking about being sold out, and we're looking at it's the King who commissions. I'm beginning reading from Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labour, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Very short passage, but there's a lot in it, a lot of challenge. Paul's vision was that the church must be increased and extended. I hope that's our vision too. He's also very powerful in saying that he wanted to be kept strong, to be kept pure, to be kept true, and saving it from errors. Do not give the enemy any room, and I think that's a message for us today. Paul's task was to bring men and women to discover the secret now revealed, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles also. This was Paul's great contribution. He took Jesus to the Gentiles. It is because Paul was sold out for the King, I believe, that you and I are here now. Paul, as you know, went through trial after trial, danger after danger, but never once did he give up. Before we look in detail at this passage, it's good to understand why Paul wrote the letter. One major reason was to straighten out so much of the false teaching that was going on, that was beginning to enter into the church, namely the teaching of the Gnostics, who set God on one side and taught about secret and special spiritual knowledge. They taught that salvation was a possession of the spiritual aristocracy and the chosen few, and I'm afraid this is still a danger here today. Paul recognised also the growing cult of the worship of angels, people praying to the moon, to the sun, the rain, and so on. Sadly, in many churches today, people still pray to angels. Many more still put their faith in stars, the galaxies. If this were not enough, legalism was starting to take root in the church. Scripture reminds us the letter kills, it's the spirit who gives life. Legalism stifles the spirit. We need to be aware of it. There's more. Practices of ascetic practices were beginning to be taught in the early Christian church, believing that the fitter you got, the more you beat yourself up, the better Christian you'd be. All of this was speedily declared heresy by the early Christian church, praise God. What a catalogue. Gnosticism, legalism, angel worship, asceticism. Small wonder Paul felt the need to straighten things out and to get the record put right, to proclaim unreservedly the headship and the preeminence of Christ. Paul sold out for the King. It's also a reminder to us of the danger today of allowing any of these heresies, mental gymnastics and legalistic processes, to enter our church life here. Knowledge about the word is so much more important than just, you know, the importance of the word. We need to know the importance of the word. Lots of people know the word of God, but they don't actually have Jesus in their hearts. They focus on head knowledge of Greek or Hebrew, whatever it is. They miss out on actually having that special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact is that there's only one thing in the world which is available for everyone, whatever age, whatever nationality, wherever you are, wherever you're sitting, wherever you're standing, and that is Christ. Not everyone can be a great thinker, a great theologian, or an expert in every craft, or an expert in any game. Not all can see, not all can hear, not all can sing, not all can preach, not all can be clever, not all can climb mountains. But the good news is this: the love of God in Christ and his transforming power is available to everyone. Hallelujah. We need to understand that Paul meant what he wrote when he wrote, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Some say that Paul is pointing folk forward to the promise of spending eternity with God in glory. So joyous expectations, I'll come back to that. But what is the mystery that Paul alludes to? It's the mystery of the gospel. This ministry now made manifest to the saints. The mystery is the riches of God's glory, not just amongst the Jews, but amongst the Gentiles also. The whole of creation. God made the whole world, not just little bits of it. And what a shaker this was for the world, particularly at that time, when so many other things were sort of claiming high authority and power and everything else. The ministry is Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ is the hope of glory. And the ground of our hope is Christ in the world. The evidence of our hope is Christ in our hearts. That is fundamental to all of Paul's teaching. The hope of Christ in our hearts. God commissions all of us who believe to take and share this good news, the gospel, with the folk with whom we meet. The folk we bump into day by day. Never forget, God loves them too. I think so often we're happy to meet and share with certain people, others we tend to avoid. We're all God's creation. God loves all of his creation, not just bits of it. And Colossians is a tremendous book and testimony from Paul. It's interesting that Paul didn't plant the church at Colossae, neither had he visited it. Remember too that Paul was writing this when he was stuck in prison in Rome. So what was Paul like? Paul was a suffering preacher, commissioned by God, sold out for the king. Many times he could have denied Christ. He could have been released. He could have saved himself from floggings and beatings and everything else. But he refused to step aside from his commitment to his Lord and Saviour, to that which God had called him. He'd be beaten, whipped, shipwrecked, imprisoned. I think a lot of us might have given up at that point. But he stood fast. He had received that commission from God to go and to spread the gospel, and he stuck with that. He wasn't knocked aside by all that came against him. And because he learned through all his difficulties that the suffering for the gospel was worth it. I wonder how we think about that. Suffering from the gospel, for the gospel, being worth it. Is it always a bit dangerous, but not go there? Are we prepared to suffer for the gospel? God gives us joy in our hearts when we are being obedient, when we're serving him, when we're seeing folk come to the Lord. God gives us joy in our hearts. Remember all the pain and suffering that Paul went through as he followed and obeyed Jesus. And here locked up in prison. Paul rejoiced in all that he suffered. I find that such a challenge. I don't know about you. When you're suffering, do you rejoice? I can speak for myself. I don't. I usually moan and complain. Paul rejoiced in his suffering. I find that amazing. And being locked up in prison. How do you fancy that? Paul rejoiced in all that he suffered because he was being faithful to his calling. God had commissioned him to go and to take the gospel out into the world. He was sold out for the king and God was blessing him. And Jesus was all that Paul needed. Christ's strength was made perfect in his weakness. The preacher said, give your life to Jesus and all your problems will disappear as a fool. It's also untrue. Jesus tells us that there will be pain, there will be suffering in the world. Why? Because the dominion of darkness is striving to overtake the dominion of God, to overtake and destroy the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But hold on to this. God promises to give us all that we need when we go through hard times. He promises to give us all that we need when we go through hard times. He'll never leave us. He's not going to forsake us. As we walk with him, he'll stand with us and go with us. The kingdom of darkness wants to overcome that kingdom of light. And the direction of Paul's ministry was clear, to proclaim, to admonish, and teach everyone with wisdom, so that he may present everyone perfect in Christ Jesus. That was his calling. He wanted men and women to be seen as perfect in Christ Jesus. And being a minister is not just about preaching. I think every minister should aim at the improvement and the salvation of every person who receives God's word. That was what Paul was doing. He wasn't just preaching the gospel, he was doing much more. Why was Paul suffering? The enemies of Christ were not happy. They were downright violent. They hated Jesus with insatiable hatred. They hated Paul because he proclaimed Jesus. They wanted to add to Paul's afflictions. They took and fired arrows at this poor man. But he was strong in the Lord. God was with him. Jesus was Lord of his heart. He was being honest and faithful to the commission that he had been given. All true believers become targets, I believe, for the enemies of Christ. Nothing has changed. We're still in that same position. When we're sold out for the King, we need the armour of God every day. Not just on Sundays, every day we need that. We're faced with the problems and difficulties in the world, bad and evil situations and things and disasters. We need the armour of God in our hearts every day. John 15:18, Jesus says this to his followers. If the world hates you, know that it hated me first. You and I are stewards of spiritual treasures. We have this treasure in pots of clay, that's our bodies. Where Christ dwells in our hearts. And what was Paul's message? To present the word of God in all its fullness. What was this teaching? That Christ is the word of God in all its fullness. And that is our hope. Now the word of hope here in the Bible doesn't mean a possibility. It means a certainty. In verse 25 read the words that the mystery that had been kept for ages has now been disclosed to the saints. God chose to make it known. It's not a secret anymore. God wants this mystery to be revealed. Christ was the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The term mystery here doesn't mean a secret teaching, secret rite or ceremony, hidden from the masses, only really revealed to an exclusive view. In the literature of the day, the term mystery means a personal truth that would have remained unknown had not God revealed it. Christ, the mystery, the hope of glory. The truth is now there for all of us to see and to receive. But I put the question to you, are you sold out for the King? Are we sold out for the King? One of the signs that our faith has moved down from our heads and our hearts is our response to the truth. Are our hearts' response to the truth, to the Lordship of Jesus? This is a commission that we have as his followers. Christ in you. So often people want to complicate that. Keep it simple. Why did God give Jesus to us? Because God knows that without Jesus, there is no way that we can be restored to relationship with him. God wants us to be restored to him, to have a relationship with him, and to live a Christian life. What do you make of the phrase, the hope of glory? Two options I put to you. The hope of glory of being with the Lord in heaven, or the hope of displaying the nature and character of God now and here in our daily lives, or is it both? We read that we've all sinned, and we know we have, and fallen short of the glory of God. That means in our own strength it's impossible for us to be God's children. We cannot live his perfect moral character and nature without Jesus, with our sins being repented of, not just thought about, actually spoken out and repented of, and receiving the forgiveness that is ours in Christ. Our hope then cannot be in ourselves. Our hope can only be in Christ. Through dependence upon Christ, who died for us on the cross, we are set free from bondage and sin and failure. Praise God, he's delivered us. So often Christians hold on to the fact, well, I'm not sure about that. I know I've been accused once or twice of proclaiming that when God forgives us, our sins are forgiven. I've had people here in this church, well, I'm not sure about that. You're being a bit, oh, I don't like that. They want to go on suffering a bit. It's true. God has forgiven us. He's delivered us. We need to walk out that deliverance in our daily lives. We know that Christ has delivered us from our sins. We have been set free. Hallelujah. And as you face each new challenge, thank God that he's given you his Holy Spirit. That with God, all things are possible. Remember, the Holy Spirit that's in you is the same who raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit in you is the same. It's the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. That same power is in you. The hope of glory, it's not just about today, but it is also what is yet to come. The second coming of Christ, never-ending bliss, the inheritance of the saints in the light, the presentation of the bride to the bridegroom, all on the horizon. As it states in the book of Revelation, that place with God where there be no more pain. Are you long for that? Be in a place where there's no more pain, no more suffering. No more tears, no more crying, but everlasting joy. I find that hard sometimes to get around my head around that everlasting joy. I'm working on it. But that's what we're promised in heaven with God, in the new heaven and the new earth. We all have difficulties in our lives. We need the Lord to be with us, for without him we are in trouble. Thank God for his Holy Spirit, who gives us the gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge and understanding, and the blessed assurance of the living God in our personal lives. He's promised to be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you always. 2 Timothy 1:2 says this, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him that day. The Lord is a gracious God. He is slow to anger and abounding in love. So what kind of preacher was Paul? He was a suffering preacher. He was also, in many ways, a very blunt preacher. He didn't do nice talk to people when they were doing things wrong. He spoke very plainly what they were doing wrong. He didn't pull any punches. But he also taught them what they should be doing, how they should be living their lives. Paul challenged the Colossians to do better. Is he doing well? Do better. He warned them as he taught them. Again, a message for preachers and teachers, I believe. Warning and teaching should go hand in hand. Paul exercised the gift of wisdom, that basic gift that all need. And it's important, too, to have targets in our lives. I wonder what target is in your life. To present everyone perfect in Christ. To present salvation and spiritual growth to everyone who comes into this place. He was also a hard-working preacher. He never gave up trying to spread the gospel. He strove day after day to do just that. And God gave him all the power that he needed. Question, what was that mystery hidden for ages? It is the riches of God's glory among the Gentiles. God had promised Abraham that all the nations of the world would be blessed. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The ground of your hope, Christ in the world. The evidence of hope, Christ in your hearts. Verse 23 reminds us that if we continue steadfast in the faith and don't move away from the hope of the gospel we've heard, we can expect a happy ending. Paul's ministry, verse 28, admonish and teach. Paul's desire was to stimulate, to warn, to encourage, to plead with people to give their lives to Jesus. And his proclamation was a marvellous combination of the true gospel and affectionate presentation. Paul's admonishing was never separated from his teaching. It was always God-centred, always rooted in Jesus' teaching. As I've said, Paul's desire was to present everyone perfect in Christ. So what can we learn from all this? Because commission is what God calls us to be perfect in Christ. Spreading the gospel should be a commonplace part of our ordinary, everyday Christian living, something that everyday disciples get on with. With regard to our evangelism, I believe we need to raise the priority of prayer as we seek God more and trust him more. We need to raise our level of expectation. We pray regularly for those 19 men in the football club. I wonder if we just expect any of them to be saved. I wonder if we actually pray for them. Is it just on Sundays? I think we need to raise the level of priority for our prayer and to raise our expectations. Miracles don't happen where they're needed. They seem to happen where they're expected. Paul was clearly commissioned by God to go out and preach the gospel. He was given godly inspiration, strength, encouragement. As followers of Jesus, I believe that God calls each one of us and commissions us to share the gospel with all whom we meet and know. You might be saying, "Several, I could never do that." Without the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, Paul could not have done what he did. You and I have that same Holy Spirit within us. The point is this, that whatever God calls and commissions us to do, he will give us all that we need for that task. He gives faith, inspiration, insight. He gives the right words, strength, determination. So often we forget that as Christians we have the Holy Spirit of God within us. Power of God in each one of us. And God never calls us to do something that isn't going to be impossible. God doesn't set us up to fail. Scripture reminds us, with God all things are possible. Again, that's a challenge, isn't it? Do we believe that? With God all things are possible. the message is for all. I know when we talk about evangelism, some people say, oh, I'm too young, I'm too old. I don't know many people. Oh, I don't know what to say. It's not really my scene. We can make excuse after excuse after excuse, but God, I believe, has commissioned us to go and to spread that gospel. It's God who commissions us. Paul was commissioned. He fulfilled his calling. The simple message is this: be sold out for the King. We can't all be Paul. We can't all be Billy Graham. But each one of us, we all can be sold out for the King and witness where we are with the people we meet, when we meet them, wherever we meet them. Basically, it's about our desire and a commitment. Are we committed to sharing the gospel? Is that our heart's desire? Or is it something put on the edge for weekends? Are we committed to sharing the word of God with the people we meet? And I believe God commissions all of us to go, to be his witnesses in a very dark world. Are we sold out for the King? When I was thinking about this, the verses from Ezekiel 47 came to mind. The water of life, do you remember, flowing down from the temple? How deep are we in that water? Are we knee deep? Is it up to our knees? Is it up to our waist? Is it deep enough for us to swim in? Are we swimming in the Spirit? Are we so sold out for Christ? We're just swimming in the Spirit. Are we swimming? How far down the river are we? It's a challenge for us today. Are we knee deep, ankle deep, up to the waist? Are we floating, swimming in the Spirit? Because you remember the good news that everything will live. Everything will live where the river goes. And God calls us to be in that river, flowing in the Spirit, spreading the gospel to all whom we meet. Amen.